Good morning, and welcome to the GCC first quarter 2018 earnings conference call. Before we begin, I'd like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that the information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's earnings report regarding forward-looking statements. At this time, I'd like to turn the call over to Mr. Enrique Escalante, Chief Executive Officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, everyone. Joining me today are Luis Carlos Arias, our CFO, and Ricardo Martinez of Investor Relations. GCC is off to an excellent start this year with an outstanding first quarter. I will discuss the main drivers of our performance in the U.S. and Mexico. Luis Carlos will review the financial results. I will then review our outlook for 2018. We will then open the call to your questions. First, GCC's performance drivers. Our U.S. operations are catching the tailwind from the strong market in 2017, especially the fourth quarter, and the benefit of relatively mild early winter weather in some of our markets. Although that has not been the same case more recently. Activity in the Permian Basin oil field in West Texas continues to be very strong. Since April 2016, the rig count in the basin increased almost 275%, from 134 to 501 rigs. Cement demand includes both oil well cement and also construction cement for the 15+ fracking sand facilities that are being developed in the basin. As many of you know, deposits of fine sand suitable for fracking are now being developed in West Texas to eliminate the high shipping cost for Wisconsin frac sand, which has been the industry standard since the development of the fracking technology. These sand mining projects need construction cement that we're supplying mostly with exports from the Samalayuca plant. In New Mexico, housing construction demand is picking up. In the upper Midwest, wind farm construction is continuing to be a very attractive market for GCC. All our other regions are also growing. One exception to the generally mild weather were storms in the final weeks of the quarter that result in a near shutdown in ready-mix activity. This affected ready-mix sales for the quarter. In general, the backlog in the U.S. for ready-mix continues to be very strong, despite the first quarter decrease in ready-mix volume. As a result, U.S. cement sales volume increased 20% in the first quarter, while ready-mix volume were down 10%. Cement prices were up 3% year-over-year. The Rapid City expansion is advancing rapidly with the scheduled start of operation in the second semester. Construction was 86% advanced at end of March. The exact date for starting operations depends on inventory level when we can execute the tie-in with the existing line, which requires a shutdown for several weeks. We will need to schedule the tie-in so that it doesn't affect our ability to meet customer commitments. We expect the Rapid City expansion, which represents a capacity increase of 440,000 metric tons, to make a material contribution starting in 2019. In Mexico, sales volumes were above our expectations. Cement volumes grew 2%, and ready-mix volumes increased 5%. The housing sector is getting stronger in Chihuahua. Mining projects in the southwestern part of the state continue to generate strong demand for cement. State government infrastructure spending rose very slightly for the first time in several years, with a few new projects. However, aside from several new maquiladora plants, the commercial and industrial sector appears to be on hold, pending the outcome of the Mexican elections and the NAFTA negotiations. Increased exports to the U.S. are increasing Mexico capacity utilization and boosting margins. Around 40% of Mexico's cement production was exported to the United States in the quarter. Sales of specialty cement is another strong point. GCC has formed a joint venture with De Acero named Tecnovia Express for providing a patent solution for rapid highway concrete repair using GCC Fragua Max cement and De Acero steel mesh. This solution makes it possible to restart traffic only 12 hours after the highways have been shut down and makes it ideal for high traffic arterial highways. The contractor for renovating part of the Mexico City Querétaro Highway awarded Tecnovia the supply contract for the project in February. No one else in Mexico can provide this kind of solution, and we hope to be able to use this first project to attract new clients across the country. Let me turn the call over to Luis Carlos to review the quarter's financial results. Luis Carlos.
Thank you, Enrique, and good morning to everyone. Our first quarter results were above expectations. Sales grew 14% in dollars, with growth coming from both the U.S. and Mexico. U.S. sales grew 12%, and Mexico sales grew 18%. As a result of higher volumes, prices, and exchange effect, costs increased only 7%. As a percentage of sales, costs decreased 4.5 percentage points, and operating expenses decreased 1.6 percentage points. The increased gross and operating margins reflect several factors: higher prices and volumes, operating leverage, and the use of alternative fuels. In addition, electricity costs decreased in Mexico, and the first quarter of 2017 included some integration expenses for the 2016 acquisitions. As a result, EBITDA grew 41% to $46 million, with a 24.3% margin, or 470 basis points higher than the first quarter of 2017. Our EBITDA margin in Mexico reached an all-time record high of 42.7%, and U.S. margins were 16.6%, the highest for a first quarter since the 2009 financial crisis. Net financial expenses decreased 25%, principally because of lower interest expenses from the senior secured notes refinancing last June. As a result of these factors, consolidated net income increased more than six times to $11 million. First quarter 2018 operating cash flow was a positive $4 million, compared to a negative $15 million last year. The $19 million favorable swing was the result of the strong growth in EBITDA and lower financial expenses that more than offset an increase in working capital. We are focused on improving working capital, especially the balance of payables in the U.S. GCC's leverage ratio, which is defined as net debt over EBITDA, decreased slightly from the December level to 1.83 times in March 2018, even with investment outflows for the Rapid City expansion. I will now return the call to Enrique.
Thank you, Luis Carlos. My final topic is GCC's outlook for 2018. At present, we are keeping the outlook we provided during the last quarter conference call. There are several reasons for being somewhat conservative, despite the strong first quarter results. First and foremost, the first quarter historically represents only about 15% of annual sales, so it's hard to extrapolate to the full year. Second, it is also hard to estimate how long the cement demand from the fracking sand mines in Texas will last, and several of these projects are being completed in the near future. And finally, there is very little visibility on cement and ready-mix demand in our Mexican market, since some investments are on hold pending the outcome of the trade negotiations and the Mexican election. GCC's outlook is for the low single-digit growth in U.S. cement and ready-mix volumes, which is in line with the Portland Cement Association's forecast for our market. We are seeing price increases of 3 to 5% range for both cement and ready-mix. In Mexico, GCC's central forecast is for cement and concrete volume to be flat, and for prices in peso terms to increase in the mid-single-digit range. On a consolidated basis, GCC expects EBITDA to increase by mid-single-digit. We are proud of our first quarter performance. GCC is building a strong, consistent operational and financial track record. We have a solid capital structure and leverage profile. We have the operational and financial flexibility to take advantage of new market opportunities and navigate any external challenges we could face in our market. I'm confident that we are on the right path that will increase and deliver the highest value to our shareholders and other stakeholders. This concludes our remarks today. At this time, we are ready to take your questions. Thank you, operator.
Thank you, sir. Signal for a question on the phone, please press the star key followed by the digit 1. Please be sure that your mute function's off to allow that signal to reach our equipment. Again, star 1 to signal. And we'll go first to Mauricio Serna, UBS.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my questions and congratulations on the results, first of all. Just wanted to, maybe you could provide a little bit more detail on why you're keeping the full year guidance. I mean, just taking a look at the numbers, I do recognize, that the first quarter is not as relevant as the other quarters in terms of sales and EBITDA. But still, I mean, in order for you to reach reach that mid-single-digit EBITDA guidance, that would imply that for the next 9 months, your EBITDA would have to drop an average around 13% from my calculations. So I just want to understand, what is a major concern? Because also, this first quarter, you did face some tough comps in Mexico. Last year, you had 10% volumes and a positive seasonal effect, and this time around, it was the reverse, and still volumes grew. So maybe you just want to understand where the cautious on that. I mean, I guess also if you could tell us a little bit more on the Texas volume, how much was that growth, or that you are seeing, that you're keeping that caution for the rest of the year. And maybe if you could also provide us a little bit more details on the operational efficiencies that you discussed in the margin expansion in the U.S. Just want to get a sense on where specifically what has been driving the higher U.S. margins in terms of cost control. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mauricio. Yes, I may sound a little bit repetitive here in terms of the guidance and not being somewhat conservative. And the reason, again, Mauricio, it's mainly Mexico. Mexico definitely it's a big concern given the lack of visibility that we have. I can tell you that the results for the first quarter are based mainly on projects that we knew of since last year and that were many of them going on already. And those have developed very well, but we don't see really many projects in the pipeline so far. And we hear there are some projects on hold, but still, our backlog, it's drying out, for the second part of the year. And I don't think that we're going to learn really, how the second semester is going to develop until we are past the elections. So yes, we're being cautious because the indicator backlog that we have, it's telling us, that we should be, on the very conservative side in Mexico. In the U.S., two main reasons, to be somewhat conservative. Again, first, what we saw with construction cement exported from Tamalayuca to the Permian Basin was a record for the company. It's what we consider a bubble because of the construction of this fracking sand plant. We hear there are around 15 plants under construction. Some people talk even about 20. But we also heard from customers that that's going to end between certainly during the second quarter. So that's a demand that we believe it's going to be obviously just, I mean, a very specific incremental demand, I mean, for the first and part of the second quarter. And last but not least, of course, the bulk of our price increase in the U.S. takes place starting in April. And of course, I mean, there are some competitive, I mean, actions in several markets. We are still cautiously optimistic that the price will take, as we have announced it in the market, but we're also conservative in that there may be some markets where we are experiencing some stiffer competition. So those are the main reasons why we are, I mean, conservative in the forecast. Your second question, in terms of the efficiencies in the U.S., let me give. Although, as you know, we're making, I mean, a strong effort in terms of alternative fuels. We have not reached, I mean, yet in the U.S. the target that we are, I mean, hoping for. So the main reason why the margins have been increasing, I mean, so much is basically leverage. I mean, we have a strong, very strong control of fixed expenses, and in light of the additional volume that we're pushing in those markets, and especially West Texas, as I mentioned, that's obviously, I mean, decreasing our fixed costs as a percentage of sales.
Okay. Thank you very much. And if you could just remind us very quickly the level of pricing that you are implementing for both U.S. and Mexico operations for this year.
Yes. In the U.S., although we said mid-single digits, more specifically, we are increasing around $6-$7 price per ton, depending on the market. Some of them are, I mean, so far, I mean, the price has been accepted with little resistance, like the northern markets, like Colorado, for example. Texas, for example, and New Mexico. The price increased its effective now April 1st. As you know, in West Texas, we have a more competition given the new capacity that we saw coming online last year there. So we're hoping, the competitors will also do their job in terms of prices. But obviously, we have to be very, very careful here. As last year in that specific area, the competitors, very competitive. In Mexico, we mentioned also mid-single digits. I can tell you that in the first quarter, the price is much higher than that compared to the first quarter of last year. We're talking high single digits, but that's also, the result of a mix of products, not only the direct, per ton price increase that we implemented in the market.
Okay. So, but you're lamenting a mid-single digit price increase in Mexico?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much. And again, congratulations on the results.
Thank you, Mauricio.
We'll go next to Dan Magawi with Citigroup.
Thanks for the call, guys, and congratulations on the results. Quick question on West Texas on the fracking sand plant that you mentioned. Can you put specific volume number on that? How much of the volume you expect directed towards that in the first and second quarter that I think you're calling somewhat sort of extraordinary? And then just overall, how much tonnage is being exported from Samalayuca to Texas these days, and what capacity utilization Samalayuca is running at? Thanks.
Thank you, Dan. I don't have here exactly, the number of tons that have been allocated to the fracking sand projects, plant projects, but I can tell you that Samalayuca has export in the first quarter a record volume of cement in the history of the plant, mainly going to the Permian Basin. I can tell you that February, for example, was close to 80,000 tons going from Samalayuca. That also covers, of course, the traditional markets of El Paso and southern New Mexico, but the main increase is coming from the Permian Basin. Samalayuca is today running at full capacity. Actually, we are we have plans to start, some other old kilns just to be prepared in case the demand continues to be as strong as we have experienced in the first quarter. But just a plan B to make sure that the system in GCC is ready to react. We always pride ourselves of our logistics network and how we can precisely take advantage of additional demand through starting up additional kilns or moving cement throughout our network of terminals. So we're preparing to do that just in case. We miss our forecast and we're being a little bit more conservative than we should.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you, Dan.
Again, to signal for a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. We'll go to Adrian Huerta with JP Morgan.
Thank you. Hi, Luis Carlos and Enrique, and congratulations on the results as well. Just going back to that, that you were saying that you were preparing to start a new kiln in Samalayuca. How much would your capacity increase in Samalayuca with that new kiln? And also, what is the current utilization rate at the Odessa plant?
Sorry, Adrian, probably I was not too clear. No, I was not referring about starting a new kiln in Samalayuca. I was trying to say we're starting some old kilns that we have in Chihuahua in this case. So that's okay. We could think about shipping an additional 200,000 tons from the Chihuahua plant into West Texas if needed with this old kiln. Odessa is running at full capacity. It's running very tight, and that's why we're also starting this kiln in Chihuahua to supplement, if necessary, the production of oily well cement from one of the old kilns that we have in Chihuahua.
Okay, what would be needed in order for you to make a decision to do the expansion either at Samalayuca or Odessa, and how soon could that be, Enrique?
We have a very in-depth analysis now, including technology companies like FLS and the others in the industry doing this assessment to understand what's exactly the investment that it will take either to expand Samalayuca or Chihuahua or Odessa. So the three kilns are, as we speak, in competition amongst each other, the three projects. And by the second part of the year, we believe we're going to be ready with a decision, Adrian, that will tell us, what's the next kiln. And if demand continues to be as we expect, we may take this up to the board for approval, in the second part of the year. So we're ready to start construction sometime during 2019.
And would you say, Enrique, just final question, there be a minimal of 500,000 tons of additional capacity, somewhere between 500 to a million or less than that?
You're totally right. It will be a minimum of around between 400 and 5,000 if we do something similar to what we're doing today in Rapid City, up to a million if we do an additional kiln in Samalayuca.
Excellent. Thank you and congrats again.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks, Adrian.
And we'll take our next question from Erwin He with TIAA Crest.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my question. So I'm just curious about for 2018, your free cash flow outlook. I mean, you are ramping up CapEx a little bit, and it seems like you may have burned a little cash from working capital the first quarter. So what do you expect? Do you guys think you'll end up lower net debt? And my second question is, you think you, outside of those potential funding needs on the operational side, do you have any intention to maybe come back to the bond market for you guys have quite a bit of bank debt in the intermediate 2020 to 2022 time frame. So do you think you'll retap the notes, or how do you think about that?
Let me thank you for the question, Sherwin. Let me address first the CapEx question and then and working capital, and then I will pass it on to Luis Carlos so he can give you more detail on that and also on the debt side. On CapEx, as you know, we put about $120 million of CapEx in the budget for this year. We are on track with that number. The majority of it goes to the six expansion in Rapid City, about $58 million. So we continue with the plan and in that regard. In terms of working capital, yes, we are investing this first quarter and part of the second quarter in working capital, given just the nature of our seasonality in the northern market. We need to, build up inventories for the heavy construction season during the summer and fall in the U.S. Aside from that, in this specific year, we're building additional clinker and cement inventory for the tie-in of the Rapid City plant that is going to be down several weeks during the summer. So that's the reason why you see the increase in working capital. I will now turn it to Luis Carlos to talk to you about the debt side.
Yes, hi, Erwin. And just to complement on Enrique's response to the cash flow, during the first quarter, we generated operating cash flow of $4 million against a negative $15 million last year. So even with even with the Rapid City expansion. So yes, as Anita was explaining, there's a lot of seasonality in this first part of the year. So we're very optimistic about the cash flow generation for this year. And in terms of the debt and refinancing, yes, we're actually looking at it. We're almost ready to make the decision, but we're not planning to open the bond to do another issuance. We're comfortable with the mix that we have within bank debt and bond debt. So no, we're not planning to issue more bonds.
So the idea would maybe to roll over, refinance the bank debt in the bank market.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank
That's
you.
Correct.
With no additional questions, I'd like to turn the call back to Mr. Escalante for closing comments.
Thank you. Thank you, Prater. And thank you, everyone, for participating in today's call. Of course, as always, we look forward to seeing many of you in the coming months. And please do not hesitate to contact us if you have any further questions. Luis Carlos, Ricardo, and I are here to answer every question that you have. Thanks again to everyone for their participation.
Thank you again. That does conclude our call.